Welcome to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by Lake Link, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. Well, Judy, I was at the Racine Big Fish Bash last weekend, and that was a tremendous event. Just a tremendous event.
Did you fish?
I didn't fish. No, I was emceeing their awards ceremony.
Okay.
But it's the biggest freshwater fishing tournament in the world. There were over 1,500 contestants.
Oof.
They caught, they weighed 25,000 pounds of fish.
Wow.
People from 18 states caught 2,780 fish that they registered in. And it's a little different from some of the other tournaments. It's the biggest fish in each category, so a lot of people caught fish that they didn't bother to enter.
Okay, yeah, I didn't go this year. I went the year before and saw all the tents right there on the pier. I mean, people camp out there, so serious about it. I've heard of guys that just take off in their boat and go who knows where on the lake.
But any of the Great Lakes are open, and all the tributaries up to the first dam, so
you
can fish anywhere.
Go anywhere.
I don't know if people came from other states with fish, but you could fish anywhere and just had to weigh them there in Racine.
Cool.
And the interesting thing is the biggest Chinook was a 23.2-pound fish. So, and there were only eight Chinooks over 20 pounds.
Okay. So you're thinking Chinooks aren't going to be as big as they usually are, huh?
That's the story we're hearing across the lake.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see if they rebound at all.
Now, you fished that Powder Puff Derby about 10 days ago, and we haven't heard you say much about that.
Yeah. you're going to make me talk about it. Okay, yeah, I did the Powder Puff up in Sheboygan. Went on the Headhunter 2, which actually, the captain, Joe Walcott, really nice guy, quite the gentleman, and went out with a couple ladies, and we had a great day. It was beautiful weather and wonderful, but after all the teasing I gave Dumper Dan, I had to eat a little crow.
Well, we'll have to talk to him in a little bit and just see how he did.
Okay.
I think he's going to be eating crow right along with you.
Have you ever had crows, speaking of crows?
Actually, I have. I shot four crows once on a duck hunt when I didn't see any ducks.
Okay.
Brought them home, and my wife said, you know what? You're going to eat those things. And so I plucked them, put them in the freezer. And I made the mistake of telling my brother that I had them in the freezer. And we had him over for dinner one night, and we were going to surprise him because we baked him in a crow pie.
Okay.
And my wife could not keep a straight face because Mike, we're sitting having a glass of wine before dinner, and he says, whatever happened to those crows that you shot? And I was trying to divert the conversation to something else, and my wife just cracked up, and then he realized he was going to eat them. And, well, it was we used a pigeon pie recipe.
Okay.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
Has he come over for dinner since?
Never seen him ever after that, no.
Beware what you might eat at Dan's house.
Yeah. You know, my buddy Mark Wilkerson, speaking of stories, he's got a big garden this year, and he's had something raiding the garden, eating his fruit, you know. So he set some box traps.
Sure, like rabbits and stuff?
Well, yeah, I'm sure there are rabbits in there, but he caught, so far from what he told me, he's caught eight raccoons.
Oh, really? Okay.
And a possum. And he asked me after a couple of them, he says, well, what can I do with these things? And I said, well, let me check with the DNR. And in Wisconsin, a landowner or a tenant can trap and destroy raccoons or possums or woodchucks or rabbits that are, you know, a nuisance in the garden.
Any time
of year.
Okay,
you know? And you can release them only on private land if you have written permission from the landowner.
So I can't dump them on a neighbor I don't like?
Not legally. And you can't let them go on state land without a permit. And, you know, it's hard to get a permit, I understand.
So what does he do with them?
Well, so he did talk to a fellow who lives out in the swamp who doesn't mind having some extra raccoons.
And good. I was worried there was a raccoon pie story coming.
And he let them go. But he told me that he caught one the other day. He opens the box trap, keeps the trap in the back of his truck, SUV, and he opens the trap, and then the coons jump out and they run away.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the other day he caught a big one that looked out, didn't want to go out, hopped into the vehicle, and then over the seat, into the front seat, and he's got one of these old bag phones like I do, you know.
Okay.
And the coon hit send, apparently. Left a message for somebody.
911?
Yeah, I don't think. So meanwhile, finally he scrambles around to the front of the car. He opens the door, and from what I heard, the coon got away, having left a deposit on the front seat, along with a phone call. So that's probably the only raccoon that's ever sent made a cell phone call.
Oh man! Well, Mark sounds like a character. I want to meet him.
He is. He's quite the character, and he's a big rabbit hunter too. So maybe he'll take us out sometime.
Okay, but otherwise you can shoot him.
You could shoot them. You could drown them.
Okay. Because shooting, I would think, would ruin your cage.
Well, that's the problem with the box traps, you know. Okay. I think most people drown them or euthanize them with vehicle exhaust or a tarp over them or something.
Okay. And then you put them in a ravine or something? Or
dig a hole.
Oh, all right. Okay. I'm just seeing what the responsible person should do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing you can do, and that's what I do, is you put up a fence around your garden.
That'll work, too.
Yeah. Well, we've got some winners,
yes.
Don't we, Judy? We have a Schrade knife and a knife sharpening DVD from Bill Hesselgrave from Hess Videos. And who's the winner?
Our winner is John Carcass, I believe. John, I'll send you an email and get your mailing address so we can mail that to you. But then we have the Ducks Unlimited tickets as well.
That's right, 4 tickets. That's a family pack of tickets to the Ducks Unlimited Great Outdoors Festival, which is coming up in August, August 24th, 5th, and 6th. And who's the winner of that?
That is John Irwin. But I think also next week we're going to be giving away more Ducks Unlimited tickets, right?
Okay. We'll give away 4 a week until right up until the event.
Okay. So if you did not win the knife or the tickets this week, you can go to our website there on LakeLink and sign up. Send us an email. There's a little button there that says Contact Dan and Judy and say, hey, I'd like to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Ducks Unlimited Great Outdoors Festival.
That's right. And coming up on today's show, we're going to talk with Dumper Dan Welch from Sheboygan.
All right.
And get the story, the whole story of the Powder Puff Derby, the ladies' fishing event from about 10 days ago. And also get an outlook on fishing, see what it's been like since then.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also talk with lady angler Kathy Cerro, who heads up a program called Reeling and Healing over in Michigan.
Okay.
Great program. And Craig Tennis of Winghaven Kennels is going to share some puppy training tips.
Oh, I wonder if he has any left. That sounds really cute.
I think he's got some black lab and maybe some yellow lab pups. We'll find out when we talk to him. And we'll talk with C. Willie Miles, a Southern comedian who makes his home now in Minnesota.
Cool.
He's got a story about, I think he's going to talk to us about ice fishing. That's an appropriate thing to talk about in late summer, isn't it?
Sure.
And then we'll swing up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and find out about some of these stories that have been circulating in the news about Bigfoot and albino moose and some other things when we talk with Conservation Field Deputy Jim Ekdahl of the Michigan DNR.
Okay.
All that and more right after this.
Ward Burton rounds the far turn way out front.
Hi, I'm Ward Burton. As a race car driver, I can drive an average of 180 miles per hour in a typical race, but that's nothing compared to how fast something else is going. Our natural wildlife habitats. In North America, we're losing 2,500 acres a day. See, I'm not just a professional stock car driver. I'm also an outdoor enthusiast and conservationist. That's why I'm a life member of the Rocky Mount Elk Foundation. Together, we have protected and enhanced 5 million acres of wildlife habitat across North America. But we need to do more. To find out how, visit www.elkfoundation.org or call 1-800-CALL-ELK.
There's the checkered flag, and chalk another one up for Ward Burton.
Join the Rocky Mount Elk Foundation. We can't reach the finish line without you.
Attention anglers, turn trophy fish into cash and win big bucks in the Sportsman's Warehouse Classic Fishing Contest. Purchase an official AMI measuring tape at Sportsman's Warehouse and use it to measure fish you catch, including walleye, largemouth and smallmouth bass, muskie, northern pike, and others, for $1,000 weekly prizes and a $20,000 grand prize. Get an AMI tape for your boat at your New Berlin or West Bend Sportsman's Warehouse and enter today. For complete rules, log on to anglingmasters.com.
More news, more information, more fishing. The new LakeLink has arrived.
If you've been fishing as long as we have, you'll really appreciate all that LakeLink has to offer. Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. LakeLink has been providing daily reports from the lakes and rivers you want to fish for over 10 years.
If you become a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure that you find that are not on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates right on your map. You'll also be able to sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
And coming soon, look for me, Judy Nugent, in the new women's section, offering tips and advice for women who love the outdoors.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. Send us your ideas and enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways, all on lake-link.com, keyword radio. This next segment is brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com.
Well, Judy, I finally caught up with our friend Craig Tennis of Winghaven Kennels. Mm-hmm. He's been building a new facility up in northern Wisconsin for his grouse hunting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been on the road a lot. Craig, how's that coming along?
It should be done by grouse season, starting September 15th.
What kind of facility?
Just a little place that I can hold my dogs and have some customers come up and enjoy some grouse hunting with me.
Oh, really? So you get those dogs on birds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of wild birds.
Okay. Is it public land?
Yeah, we hunt the Shawamigan and the Nicolet.
Oh, wow. You know, there should be a lot of nice birds up there. I was up there vacationing, and I would see them along the sides of the roads, which is kind of unusual. I mean, grouse numbers luckily are going back up, but I was really surprised what I was seeing in the Shawamigan, so very cool.
And you moved a number of birds last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I moved over 400 birds last year.
Really?
Well, I hope you left a few of them for for this year's hunting.
Yeah, that was just points and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we usually only harvest only if the dogs really get a good point.
But listen, we called to talk to you about puppy training because we know that you've got some puppies left, haven't you?
Yes, I still have some Labrador puppies left. They are 5.5 weeks old right now, and they're going. Usually, I let them go after 49 days, so mm-hmm. They're about 10 days away from that. And I have of the 10, there's 5 spoken for, and there are still 5 available.
Okay. Well, now last time we talked to you, you were sharing some tips on getting a puppy started.
Yes.
And what's the next step once you've got some of the basic commands under your belt, so to speak?
You want to work the dog on whether it be a pointing dog or a flushing dog or a retrieving dog, at about 4 months, 5 months, then you can start putting the choke chain on and give them a little bit of pressure. Now, it would just be a small pull on the chain, either making them sit or hold them on wool, and you're, petting them up, and it's more still a positive reinforcement, but you can actually add some pressure instead of before it was just pushing their butt down or all positive. Now you can give them a little bit of negative, which is the choke chain.
And what's your goal at this point?
What you want to be able to do is the puppy should start understanding that if they don't do what you want or are telling them, you're showing them that there's going to be negative reinforcement. So they avoid not listening by listening and saying, I don't want that negative reinforcement, and I will listen and do what you say.
Do you ever use a shock collar at this stage?
No, not okay. Not until the dog, they're about 7 months old or older, because they still are too young to handle that kind of pressure.
Okay, so not that negative of a reminder.
No, they're not old enough yet.
And how long a session do you usually work with a dog?
Very short. The key is if you can do a lot of very short sessions. A puppy's attention span is very, very short all the way until they are, almost a year old. And so what you want to do is as they get older, you can add and go on a little longer. But the key is if you got a half an hour or an hour in the day, in your time schedule to work them, what you want to do is small 5 to 10 minute increments and do it that way instead of 2 half-hour sessions or a whole hour session, because after 15 minutes, the dog is going to be, if you're trying to do the same thing. Now, you can work different things into it, and like giving them birds and positive reinforcement and stuff like that as something to change it up. But if you are just doing obedience you generally only want to do 5 to 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it sounds like kindergartners.
Yep, absolutely. It's very, very close to kids.
All right. Well, Craig, you have a big event coming up August 4th, don't you?
Yeah, August 4th, we have our Winghaven Youth Day. It is going to start around 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's registration. Kids of all ages are invited. Everything is free. There's no cost to the kids. Every kid that comes through the door, they get a hat and a T-shirt. And then we have gun safety reviewing. We've got target shooting. I put on a hunting dog demonstration. We've got game calling demonstrations. We got wildlife conservation talks. We have game scene investigation. We have archery, fishing. We even teach the kids how to clean the guns at the end of the day. And then we also have a lady coming out to do some bird work, some raptor work. And we also have another lady that if the kids have gone through the Wisconsin Hunters Education Program, they might. This lady does a lot with them. They come in and do some furs and mounts and stuff and do some identification that way. So it's a great deal. Myself, the Rough Grouse Society, Pheasants Forever, Whitetails Unlimited, countless organizations spend all summer and spring and summer trying to get this together, and we're looking forward to having a great event this year.
All right, and if folks want their kids to come out and enjoy that, how do they find out about it?
They can contact me, Craig Tennis, at 920-689-2332, and that's both the contact number for the Youth Day, or if they are available, like I said, I do have pups available, if they're interested in getting some more information on puppies.
Okay, and you've got the Winghaven Open coming up later in August, don't you?
Yes, that's an event we do each year. That's kind of a fun event, we do that. It's got golf and archery and 3D archery, and then the sporting clays, and we do that in a one-day event. I believe you guys were at it last year.
Oh, yeah?
I thought you had a pretty good time.
Yeah, well, I actually won the archery, but we didn't do too well in the other events. So.
Well, like I said, it's a great time, and it's also a non-profit deal where we just raise money, and most of that money goes back for this Youth Day.
Wonderful. Well, Craig, thanks so much for talking with us, and we'll catch up with you later this summer.
I do appreciate it.
You bet.
That segment was brought to you by Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors, on the web at campchef.com.
This fishing report is brought to you by Mercury Outboards, number one on the water.
Well, Judy, I know you had fun at the Powder Puff Derby in Sheboygan last week.
What? Huh? What? What was that? Was I there? Do I have to talk about it, Dan? Come on.
We've got evidence.
We've got evidence. All right.
And we've got somebody else on the line who also would rather not talk about it, and that's Dumper Dan Welch. Dan?
Yes.
You didn't win this year.
No, we tried to do it again, a back-to-back, 2 years in a row. We won in 2002. I did personally on Dumper Dan 4 and now in 06 of last year. But this year we couldn't do it. Sounds like the turnout was very good.
Well, I heard they had 301 entries and that they caught 4,700 pounds of fish.
Hmm.
But I understand two of your employees did pretty well.
Actually, they did. The first mates on two of my four boats fished on their parents' boats, actually, and the one guy, Ronnie Gravine, won the tournament on his dad's boat, fished it with his mom and his girlfriend and a few other gals, and took first place. So it was kind of neat to see the first mates go on their own, and having Ron win it with 176 pounds of fish was pretty exciting.
Wow, that is a lot of fish.
It is, yeah. And then I had Mark, one of my newer captains. He's been a captain for 3 years now. He runs my Dumper Dan number one. He ended up in fourth place with 156 pounds, so he was 20 behind Ronnie. And them two work together on the same boat when they're working on my boat, so it was kind of neat to see both of them guys do pretty well.
Yeah, and I think I met the ladies that were on Mark's boat because they had a very interesting get-up. They had funny hats, and they had bobbers stuck to their shoes, and, you know, they were just having a blast.
That was them.
Well, it just seemed like an awesome event. I mean, just showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning as the ladies were coming and arriving, they're like, oh, hi! Ben, it's so great to see you, you know, and they're so nice to all their captains and then all the other women that they were seeing, and it was just really cool for me to see so many ladies excited about fishing.
Such an exciting event. I mean, it's been going on for so many years since the wharf started way back when, and they've held this tournament together all that time, and just to see the Coast Guard escort the whole train of boats out of the river, as you saw, Judy, the lighthouse, and everybody takes off, and I believe there was roughly, give or take, about 80 boats in the tournament.
Yeah, and we did okay. We didn't get 170 pounds by any means, but we had four ladies on our boat. We were on Headhunter 2 with Captain Joe Walcott. Real nice guy. Boy, what a gentleman. I mean, that made the day right there. And but we all got a fish, so that was good news, but nothing near 176 pounds. So
right. You
guys knew something we didn't.
And I understand that the proceeds benefit Sheboygan Safe Harbor, which is a domestic violence shelter, so it goes to a good cause.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So how's the fishing been since then, Dan?
It's been good, just like it was during the powder puff. We're still hitting them good. We did have a northeast wind. Water jumped up about 10 to 12 degrees since that powder puff day. Fish moved out a little bit, but not too far. We're fishing right now about 70, 80, 90 foot, a little bit closer to the bottom, which is normal with the warmer water, but temperatures right now on the surface are about 68 degrees. On the bottom, they're about 60 degrees in that depth.
All right, and I've got two charters I got to schedule with you yet, and I'll talk to you maybe later today about that when we get off the air. September and October we're looking at, and you've got some openings for these later months, don't you?
Exactly. We're filled solid right now. I don't have an opening till the 15th of August, but late August, September, and October I have openings right now.
All right. Well, we'll send folks to your website, and that's dumperdan.com. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.
This fishing report was brought to you by Mercury Outboards, number one on the water.
It's time now for Conservation Corner, brought to you by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, on the web at elkfoundation.org.
Well, Dan, as you know, I was in ICAST in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. It was very hot, and I was talking to some of the guys at St. Croix, and one of the regional reps for St. Croix is named Brad Wright, and he gave me the name of someone. He's like, you have got to talk to this woman. She's phenomenal, and her name is Kathy Serrow.
And Kathy, I understand that you are a fly fishing instructor.
Yes, I am. I've been instructing fly fishing professionally since 1997.
And how did you get started in that? There's a story behind that, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a little story behind that. I fished all my life. I consider myself my dad's fishing buddy for fly fishing. And we did all kinds of sports, so, you know, hunting and fishing together. But fly fishing is the thing that we do. And one day, after being out in the river, he turned to me and said, and basically gave me a dare, but said, I dare you to go out there into the world and do something with fly fishing.
Hmm.
And it was his intent that I should go into writing and that I might meet a nice boy who also fly fishes and he wouldn't have to worry about me much. And 2 weeks later, I called him after stopping in the Orvis store in downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And let him know that I had left that store with a part-time job other than my real job out in the community, and that I was going to become one of their fly fishing instructors in the Midwest for their corporate schools.
Cool.
And after picking up the rod and teaching, came across so many women within the Midwest area that I went beyond Orvis and really was intrigued with how else can I share this sport with more women,
mm-hmm.
and began giving lessons. And I think I did 8 years of free lessons in the casting ponds here in downtown Chicago,
mm-hmm.
up in Lincoln Park, but also would travel into and help out at the different Trout Unlimited schools and put together women's programs and offer my help at the Becoming an Outdoor Woman programs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got into something called Reeling and Healing.
Yes, I did. It was originally started out as Reeling and Healing of Michigan, and I had read an article in a local paper about the group, and they were reaching out into the community to assist women who were cancer survivors and battling against cancer and offering them the opportunity to come and learn fly fishing, and take them out into the river, take them away from the doldrums of support groups and the hospitals and the doctors and their bills, and get them outside and just have a wonderful time. And once I went to that first retreat, I've never stopped going back. And in the last few years, have become the head honcho, per se, of Reeling and Healing of what we call of the Midwest, with our intent to have even more retreats. And we've helped make it grow and offer 2.5-day and 1-day retreats where women can come together who are sharing their battles and sharing their support and camaraderie past their cancer, or through their cancer, but also envelop that with the outdoor experience of fly fishing in nature, and not just give them a one-time opportunity to be on the water, but also to take them out on reunion retreats as well and different types of outings. And that's where I think you heard about our one-day float trip that we offered last weekend up on the Pure Marquette River. I think that's the one that Brad Wright had mentioned to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did that go?
That it just was tremendous. We had wonderful community support. Approximately, I'm still looking at the numbers, but I'm certain it's like 65 to 70 people who came out and were survivors and volunteers and supporters and river guides and boats. And we started out at 8 o'clock in the morning and sent people on either all-day float trips if they wanted or half-day float, and then they would have assistance in the water with guides throughout the entire day, and ended our evening with steaks that were donated, and we grilled steaks and corn and just had a wonderful dinner together. Just a good time had by all. And this was our third year, and we can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, well, I can just imagine. I mean, not only is it a great day to come together in the wilderness with other people experiencing the same, you know, pain and trial and tribulation that you are, but then to come back maybe the next year or the year after that and see all the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the faith that must give people, it's just got to be incredible.
It's very incredible. It keeps promoting hope.
And, right.
Our little tagline for Reeling and Healing Midwest is that we renew spirit and we renew hope. And it's amazing how it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The volunteers who might have lost a loved one to cancer, it's a way that they're able to reach out. I had one gentleman come up who had tied just a few dozen flies special that he just wanted to hand out to the different ladies and also men who were survivors who attended the event and give them out as, you know, tokens of the day in remembrance of what fun and what hope and how that he's inspired to just be there to help them and share and give from his heart.
Mm-hmm.
That word keeps coming up, wonderful.
Yeah, well, you certainly fulfilled your dad's challenge.
Yes, I did, and I did find a nice boy, so he's
oh, good.
My fishes.
Excellent. I was going to ask you about that. So I understand you've got some retreats planned for Wisconsin next year.
We are in the stages of confirming having at least two retreats in Wisconsin. We've reached out to the Marshfield Clinic,
mm-hmm.
and we're working to put together a retreat in the southwest Wisconsin area. And then we're also planning to have one up in the Hayward, Wisconsin area.
Oh, great.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Hey, if folks want to find out more, if they want to volunteer, if they want to sign up, where do they go?
They can visit our website, which is at www.ifishon.org, and again, it's www.ifishon.org, or they can call our toll-free number at 866-237-5725. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in helping out cancer survivors or within the community, I encourage them to just reach out and call us up and ask more questions, visit our website and see what we're about. It's a terrific opportunity to give.
All right, Kathy, great story and great work that you're doing. We certainly appreciate your sharing that with us.
Thank you so much, Dan and Judy.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This week's Conservation Corner was brought to you by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation on the web at elkfoundation.org. Well, Judy, you know, we have not visited the Upper Peninsula now in a few weeks, and we need to do that because mm-hmm. we've got listeners up there.
Yep.
And we have not heard how their search for Bigfoot is going, but I know that crew from Bigfoot search out in California
mm-hmm.
Is doing a little exploration there in the UP this summer. And we thought we'd get a gentleman on the line who knows about some of these wilderness legends, so to speak, and that's Jim Ekdahl. He's the field deputy for the Upper Peninsula for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Now, you chuckled when I said Bigfoot. Are you aware of what's going on with that?
Yes, I am. We've heard quite a bit of publicity about that.
Okay. Well, tell us. Have they found one yet?
Not that I've heard of, and I think silence is golden on this issue.
Okay. Well, we do have an urban or a wilderness legend question for you, though. There's a photograph or a series of photographs that have been floating around on the Internet for a mm-hmm. long time, a couple of albino moose. And legend has it they're from the UP. So what do you say about that? Is that true?
Well, I don't believe it is. We've seen those photos for the better part of a couple of years, and each time they seem to circulate around, they show up with a different description on there in terms of where they may have been located. I've actually heard they were in northern Wisconsin. I've heard US 2 in Gogebic County and the Upper Peninsula. But we've done some of our folks in our wildlife division in Lansing have done their best to track those things down. We don't have any reason to believe they're from Michigan. We do believe that those are older photos that may have been taken out in Newfoundland some years back.
Hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
But an albino white moose is possible.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. Albinism is possible in any animal that I'm aware of, and we just don't believe these critters are from the Midwest.
Well, you mentioned US 2. You know, when I saw those photos, and I used to live in northern Wisconsin, I thought, boy, that sure looks like Highway 2 or 28.
They look like scrub wetland that you might see anywhere across the northern portion of North America, I think,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
We invested some effort in tracking those things down and didn't come up with much, but we do see a number of these kind of urban wildlife legends, if you want to call them that, uh-huh. Float around from time to time. There's another very common one that shows a young man crouched down behind a dead grizzly bear holding up its massive paw, and the story that you see gets more exotic each time it circulates around each year, and I've seen different stories attached to it that says this bear killed several human beings before it was put down, and you know, it had parts of human remains still in it and so on. We actually did have some luck tracking that down, and it just turns out it's a young airman from the armed forces who was stationed up in Alaska and went out on a grizzly bear hunt, had a good hunt, got a nice bear, and none of the exotic rumor and legend attached to it is really true. It was just a typical bear hunt.
Uh-huh. But speaking of stories and white animals, there's an animal that turns white in the winter, the snowshoe hare, and you've got plenty of them up there in the UP. And I understand you've got a story that is allegedly true about an attack snowshoe?
I kind of wish I didn't know this story. Uh-huh. I'm not sure this is what I want attached to my name down through history.
Well, it's history now, so tell us.
Well, back in the 70s when I was a conservation officer in the south central part of the Upper Peninsula, I had a work partner who was stationed in Stevenson, Michigan, and I went over to meet him one day, and he said, stick around for a minute, you'll enjoy seeing this. And he opened up his blinds in the front of his house, and I saw his paperboy come walking up the street and stopped where his driveway met the street, and the paperboy was looking around pretty intently underneath every vehicle in the area and behind all the brush piles and all the shrubs in his yard and so on. And finally, he seemed to gather his courage and walk up about halfway up the driveway, and from out of nowhere came a white snowshoe rabbit that kind of attacked the kid and chased him around the yard. It looked like something they'd been doing pretty regularly, and the CO who lived in the house said, in fact, that this happened every day at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and apparently the rabbit had some kind of territorial impulse there, and I had walked up the driveway a few minutes before with no results, but for some reason that he had it in for that paperboy, and he would attack that paperboy every day at about 4 o'clock.
Well, you had a uniform on, though, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I didn't have a paper bag. That may have been the triggering impulse. Who knows? And, you know, the kid came every day at the same time, and maybe that was what aggravated the rabbit. But I saw it on more than one occasion, or I wouldn't have believed it myself. And apparently it happened for the better part of one fall, and then the rabbit went the way of all good rabbits, and or else the paper boy went the way of all good paper. For one reason or another, the story wasn't the story anymore.
Well, it's too bad that your partner wasn't able to catch that rabbit and breed him and maybe pass on the genes. Wouldn't that be an interesting...
I think it's related to the same rabbit that attacked Jimmy Carter later in his presidency
right
down south. So
yeah.
That aberrant strain of rabbit behavior is still out there somewhere.
Well, we hope that there aren't too many of them.
I can just see someone with a stockpile of killer bunnies, you know.
I can imagine this kid going home and telling his dad, "Dad, I can't deliver papers at this house anymore. A rabbit attacks me every day."
That's better than a dog eating my homework, I'll say that.
Really? Too strange to believe.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for sharing that and giving us something to talk about in the UP.
Okay.
We'll call you on a more serious note sometime.
Very good.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Attention anglers, turn trophy fish into cash and win big bucks in the Sportsman's Warehouse Classic Fishing Contest. Purchase an official AMI measuring tape at Sportsman's Warehouse and use it to measure fish you catch, including walleye, largemouth and smallmouth bass, muskie, northern pike, and others, for $1,000 weekly prizes and a $20,000 grand prize. Get an AMI tape for your boat at your New Berlin or West Bend Sportsman's Warehouse and enter today. For complete rules, log on to anglingmasters.com.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers. This is Dan Small. Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater to your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday through Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson with a certified instructor. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including a great Friday fish fry. For a truly memorable event, let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at a bachelor party outing of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's most complete upland hunting and sporting clays facility. Call 920-699-2299 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com. This next segment is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's most complete upland hunting and sporting clays experience, on the web at milfordhills.com.
Well, Dan, as you know, we get a lot of comments from listeners and people we run into, and we recently ran into John Bethke, who we both know is a fly fisherman in southwest Wisconsin. He's like, boy, you guys, you got to lighten up your show a little bit.
Yeah,
we need
some,
you know, Ole Lena jokes or something. And so, John, for you, we've got somebody much better than Ole and Lena jokes here. Joining us today is C. Willie Miles, and Willie is a comedian. And Willie, I understand you're a bit of a southern boy. What in the world made you move to Minnesota?
Well, Judy, most of the time when you find people that move from the south up north is obviously people that told them a bunch of stories that are not true.
Uh-huh.
And that's how, and that's pretty much how I got up here.
Oh no, by trickery.
So what?
It took a whole lot of people to convince me to come to go to school. Ever what happened? I went to college at St. Cloud State, and again, St. Cloud State knew two things about me when they were recruiting me from Alabama. Was number one, I was from the south, and number two, I knew nothing about the north. And that's two crucial components of recruiting a kid from Alabama, bringing him to Minnesota. What he don't know, don't tell him.
Okay.
So what have you learned?
Well, here's one thing I've learned. I've learned for sure. You're fishing in the winter up here and fishing in the winter down south. It's two different kinds of fishing.
Okay.
Down south in the wintertime, you still take your boat on the water. Apparently, up here, you do something totally different.
That's right.
Here's what I found out. First of all, I've never went fishing on the water truck. And when we drove out on the middle of this lake, I had no idea there was water underneath there. I thought it was a parking lot. As long as I've been living in Minnesota, I've been living here for over 18 years now, and it never occurred to me to drive in the middle of a lake, sit in a little raggedy house for 8 hours and drink beer.
Uh-huh. We can do that at home, right?
You can do that at home. I always say that I'm a very smart ice fisherman. A smart ice fisherman will just go in the basement of his home, dig up the tile drain, invite your buddies over, and just sit there all morning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to feel comfortable, you can go upstairs in the garage and open up the car doors.
Mm-hmm.
Never, you know, I don't understand about ice fishing. I don't understand how people, they say, if you want to fish on a lake, the smartest thing to do is when you're driving out there, is open up your car doors.
Yeah, well, if your car goes through, you can get out.
Now, see, that's what I don't understand. You open up your car doors knowing that there's a possibility that you could fall through.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't that tell you that maybe this is not a good idea? Why would you say, if I got to open my car doors to keep myself from falling through, why don't I just close the door, put the car in reverse, and go home?
Well, Willie, the winters are long up here. You know that.
There are malls. That's why they build indoor malls in Shawi. Go home. It don't make any sense. Sit out on the middle of the frozen lake. And I'll never forget the time they had left me sitting in that little fish house all by myself, and I could hear them outside laughing.
Oh.
They knew exactly what was coming. And if you've never been on a frozen lake before, this will happen to you. And people up here in the Midwest don't like to tell people down south that loud noise is going to hear. Sitting in there, all of a sudden out of nowhere, I hear something that I thought was an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
It was the loudest noise I've ever heard in my entire life. I just woke up screaming. Because I'm sitting there, I'm curled up in the fetal position wrapped around this heater. First of all, I couldn't figure out why would you put a heater on ice? Am I the only one to see the irony in that? You people would just build a fire on top of ice, which has water underneath it. Only thing I learned in Alabama, I learned two things. One, heat will melt ice.
Eventually.
And the second thing is just not that important. That was really important to me because that's the only thing I remember.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, all of a sudden I heard this loud crack and I got to screaming and they come running to the door like, what's wrong with you? I said, what was that noise? Oh, that's just the ice cracking. Well, shouldn't we evacuate or something? Why are we standing around talking about it? You know, I have watched enough cartoons to know eventually if every one of these little houses out there has a hole in it. I've watched enough cartoons to know all it takes is one crack and it will connect the dots. And all of a sudden we wake up and we're all dead. And I can't swim, so you know, it just I don't get it. You'd be out there all day and don't catch nothing.
Oh, well, if you find the fish, you usually really get into them. They catch more fish through the ice in Wisconsin. I don't know about Minnesota, but we catch more through the ice than we do in the open water.
So what, you catch two? When you said you catch one, I've seen people sit out there all day and just come back with just empty beer cans. That's all I see.
Yeah, well, that's because they don't move around.
They don't move around.
You got to find the fish.
You just can't move your house. As a matter of fact, the first time I drove out on a frozen lake, I had never seen anything. I was like, man, these people are really poor. I can't believe it. I mean, I grew up in the projects, but whew, this was government cheese type already. I've never seen so many shack little houses in my life.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. My first ice shack was a chicken coop, so it fits right up.
What do you mean? They're still out there. They were all chicken coops. I mean, I'm from down south, and I've seen some raggedy homes, but holy moly. I'm like, this is a whole ugly village. They have nice vehicles, that's why.
As long as the doors are open.
Yeah.
They need to put some money into their homes and stuff. They'll put some money into their trucks.
So have you sworn off ice fishing now?
Never been since then. You know what? It just don't make no sense to me.
Oh,
I don't see the humor in it. And I'm not saying that it's a sport, and because I don't think it is, because all the equipment that you have. I mean, these guys had sonar equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They were dropping hammers down into water. I'm like, that's not sport fishing. You can see the fish. When I was fishing, you pretty much got to wait for the bobber to go down.
Yeah.
They moved the camera around. Oh, there he is over there. Pull the bait up. No, that's a little one. Don't catch that. Wait a minute. You picking and choosing what you catch? Where is the surprise anymore?
Oh, I've never thought of ice fishing like this. This is hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. You got sonar equipment. You got depth finders. You got everything, man. Whatever happened to just the old bamboo pole and the orange bobber and just, you know, bait?
Well, a lot of people do fish on a bucket. They sit on a bucket, and they got a little stick, just a jig stick with a little jig and a minnow on it. That's
right. Those are the real fish. That's what I call real. Those ones I see on the side of the roads. Those are the real fishermen.
Mm-hmm. All right. So can I talk you into coming out with me with a bucket and a stick?
Absolutely not. You can talk me into going down to the grocery store in the produce section and just buy. That's the way I like to shop for my fish. And I can pick the size I want. I don't have to lie about it.
Mm. Well, listen, Willie, I understand you're on a golf course today, so we ought to let you go and hit a few there.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that. It's only about 101 degrees here in North Dakota.
Uh-huh. Well, see, you go from one extreme to the other, you know.
No, that's right.
North Dakota has winter, too.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the winter because then I'll be down in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I'll be watching you on TV.
All right. Will you talk to us again?
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, thanks a lot, Willie.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
And Willie's website, folks, is cwillie, and that's WILLI.com. That segment was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club. Right through the ice. Attention anglers, turn trophy fish into cash and win big bucks in the Sportsman's Warehouse Classic Fishing Contest. Purchase an official AMI measuring tape at Sportsman's Warehouse and use it to measure fish you catch, including walleye, largemouth and smallmouth bass, muskie, northern pike, and others, for $1,000 weekly prizes and a $20,000 grand prize. Get an AMI tape for your boat at your New Berlin or West Bend Sportsman's Warehouse and enter today. For complete rules, log on to anglingmasters.com.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
This is Dan Small. Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater to your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday through Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson with a certified instructor. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including a great Friday fish fry. For a truly memorable event, let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at a bachelor party outing of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's most complete upland hunting and sporting clays facility. Call 920-699-2299 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
Well, Dan, what's on Outdoor Wisconsin next week?
Well, Judy, remember that great fishing trip you had with Ron Urich on Delavan Lake?
Yeah, that was like a month ago.
Well, we turned it around real quick and you caught so many nice largemouths, so we're going to show the folks how to do it.
Awesome. All right, cool.
And the Sea Sprite Sailboat Restoration Project in Sheboygan is going to start with part one. Actually, Shivani and I had a chance to sail on that boat. We cruised with Richard and Chris Charette the other night, had dinner with them in Sheboygan Harbor and went up the river. It's a beautiful sailboat.
Okay.
But we've got lots of events coming up, and you heard about Wing Haven's Youth Day. I just want to remind you that that's August 4th, and you can call Craig for information at 920-689-2332, and especially to pre-register, because that'll give an idea of how many kids to expect.
And there are some seminars at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse on July 28th and 29th. Badger State Retriever Club and Jim Schneider from Midwest Outboards will be at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse with an XL boat and Mud Buddy motor on display to talk about duck hunting and the Retriever Club. Stealth wing waver decoys are available at Sportsman's Warehouse.
And the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has a number of banquets coming up in Wisconsin on July 28th, and for many listeners, that's tonight, the Elk Wisconsin Big Game Banquet in Milwaukee. August 2nd, Fox Valley Big Game Banquet in Appleton. August 3rd, the Rock Prairie Banquet in Janesville. And August 10th, the River Cities Banquet in Wisconsin Rapids. For more information, you can go to www.elkfoundation.org.
August 6th through the 9th, there are public hearings in La Crosse, Rice Lake, Appleton, and Waukesha on proposed migratory bird seasons, zones, and bag limits. Go to www.dnr.wi.gov for details.
And don't forget, later in August, on the 24th through the 26th in Oshkosh, the Ducks Unlimited Great Outdoors Festival.
Well, Dan, I think we're out of time.
We are, and old Anglin Wayne is rolling up behind us once again. You've been listening to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be